And it's the time of the week when we do technical things. It's the time of the week when we can't speak. But we also do technical things with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp. You can enjoy his podcast for free at gadgetdetective.com or on all the usual platforms. How's it going, Fevzi?
Very well, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to have you with us. And, yeah, I was able to guess what your tech story of the week would be this week. I can't often.
Oh, my God.
It was a bit of a one-horse race, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I was just going to email you, like, Musk, take your pick.
Hey!
It's no longer, you know, if anyone just says to me, oh, can we talk about the Elon Musk story? And then I now have to say which one.
Yeah.
Because there are so many and so many diverse strands. I wanted, well, look, we'll cover what Musk did briefly, perhaps, but then maybe just see where this is likely to take us, I think.
Yeah.
So Musk, it seems, bought Twitter. I say it seems bought Twitter because actually Twitter hasn't actually confirmed it, but I suspect that's because he sacked everyone that would be in a position to confirm that they've been bought.
It was quite a long and protracted dance, wasn't it, of courtship?
Oh, God, yeah. I've given up on soap operas. I now just track this story. I mean, it's been on again and off again since April. And the irony of the fact that the management of Twitter sued Musk to force him to buy it, effectively won because he probably would have lost that court case. He bought it, and the first thing he did was sack the people who forced him to buy it. So it's.
They should have seen that one coming, shouldn't they? Really?
Well, yes, but they had multi-million-dollar payouts. I think hundreds of millions of dollars were paid out to a handful of people. So, you know, they will not be crying too much. I think. Maybe that was the plan all along. They engineered their own exits. So. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, free speech and what this means, and Kanye West is back on Twitter, although there is a suggestion that that was done by one of the last acts of the outgoing administration, as it were. So it's not clear. I mean, as far as Musk is concerned, he says that there's no change to Twitter's moderation policies yet, but he gives us a clue. He says anyone suspended for minor and dubious reasons would be freed from, and I quote, Twitter jail. And comedy is now legal on Twitter. The thing is, you know, there is a lot of behavior on Twitter which is kind of borderline on the rules. And it's just unpleasant anyway, whether it sort of, you know, something doesn't have to be illegal to be unpleasant. And people have got a right to be unpleasant, but then I guess we have rights not to be there.
It's the ultimate balancing act, isn't it? You know, one person's offence is not another's. Very difficult.
Look, I you know, people have every right to be offensive, but then I don't have to subject myself to that. You know, that's my right. So I noticed that Marina Sirtis, the British actress who I think is known for Star Trek Next Generation, she just said that she's walking away from Twitter because of Musk and what she calls his cabal. And you know, one does rather think that you know, there will be a change in tone even if the rules don't change. And but at the same time, if he goes too far, essentially what he's paid for with this deal is 200 million active users a day.
Yes.
And if he hacks those off too much, well, it depends how you see it. I mean, I think the banks work on this principle. Banks can behave allegedly as badly as they want to, because for every customer they lose, they'll benefit from another customer of a competing offending bank. So, you know, we will see. But he doesn't. If he goes too far, he'll find himself subject to greater regulation. You know, there's a lot of people who are already concerned about social media. There's also a lot of people who aren't terribly fond of Elon Musk. And those people combined could regulate the hell out of Twitter if they chose to.
In the short term, but of course Mr. Trump has greeted this development warmly. And if he could get back on, he could rally his troops and he could be returned. He could be the second ever president to win, then lose, then win, come back again. And it changed the rules significantly, I would have thought. Is that a possibility?
Yes, it's a possibility, but don't forget that Twitter's international and the European Union might have other thoughts on that matter. And even I think a Conservative MP has warned Musk not to go too far, which is kind of interesting. I think the other thing about all this is, you know, why did he buy it? He's talked about a new app that he wants to launch, which is variously known as a super app or the everything app. It's been dubbed the X app. He actually owns X.com, the letter X.com. Wow. Didn't know that. And I think that might be the basis of this. So in China and in Asia, there are these everything apps, but we don't really have them yet. An everything app is an app that effectively does everything that you would need to do during the course of a typical day. So it is your, think about combination of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, maybe financing, buying, selling things, cryptocurrencies, food orders, booking a cab, anything that you normally do. So essentially the idea is you live within the app, which is, when you think of it, not that dissimilar to Zuckerberg's idea of the metaverse, this sort of virtual immersive internet that we live within. And in effect, what's actually happening, and what makes me think that this is probably some form of the future, is that all of the world's richest men, be it Bezos or Zuckerberg or Musk, are sort of coalescing on this same idea, albeit from different directions, that the internet is going to become far more immersive. It's going to become far more proprietary and in far more under the control of a very small handful of people. Mm. And that we will be living in these metaverses or, you know, everything apps, whatever you want to call them, increasingly. And what do I mean by living in them? All right, well, we will still somehow eat in the real world and our bodily functions will take place in the real world. But other than that, we will... You know, it'll be a bit like the Matrix. You will live in this space. And why that's important is this. At the moment, we live in quotes in the real world and in countries where we have, by and large, elected governments and some form of democracy for the most part. That means that we have some semblance of control or influence over what sort of world we live in and how we want to live. You know, we have democracy and we vote. Mm. With metaverses and with these proprietary worlds that we will live in, I think there will be a vacuum, because a legal vacuum within which they operate, because governments don't really understand what questions they should be asking, much less what the answers and the regulations should be. So instead of being subject to laws, we will be subject to terms and conditions of a private company, which we have not read and nor could we understand. And yet we apparently agree to. And that means that, you know, your rights go to hell, potentially. You know, you don't have the same rights. They own the space. They literally own the air that you're breathing. You know, they own everything that you're within. Mm. So you're subject to terms and conditions. Your privacy, your rights to privacy are completely gone.
I couldn't quite work out there whether you were speaking in the conditional or future tense, i.e. you think nobody can stop this, or you think, you know, if we decide to make wrong decisions, then it'll happen.
Hmm. There is,
I don't,
no
like
sign.
Your long pause there. That's worrying. Not like you.
There's no sign that anyone in a position to regulate any of this understands what's about to happen.
Wow.
And therefore... And these are deep questions and you know, should be subject to a discussion amongst populations. But our populations are now so divided, so polarized, that we can't even agree on the facts, much less agree what we should do about the facts.
Yes.
You know, it's great. Twitter is great if it's now right wing as opposed to perceived left wing and all of this. You know, it's all right to kick people off as long as they're not the people that agree with you. You know, and that's where we've gone. So I see no reasonable prospect that this is going to be prevented. And I think at the very best, the legislative framework will always be playing catch up to what the technology provides us with.
Right. One more point before we finish. And I've said this to you before, and I know it embarrasses you, but the people whose decision it is to make, whose responsibility is to make these decisions, who don't understand it because it's so new and so complicated, I don't understand why you, and if there are other people like you, aren't their advisors who can explain it to them, just like you explain it to me and everybody listening on a weekly basis. That would be such a simple solution, or at least improvement. Well, why doesn't that work like that?
I think, first of all, there are in all honesty, people who are far, far better placed than me to advise governments. But having said that, they're not taking advice from those people either. There is a there is a shift. You know, the expert has become a dirty word. You know, and I find it bizarre. You know, if you needed surgery, would you want someone who was expert in surgery, i.e. a surgeon, to conduct it? Or would you want someone of another profession or a passerby to do it? And, you know what they say about opinions, right? So I just think that we've moved into a rather strange strange space where we don't actually want to take advice, and it's not that we necessarily have to follow the advice. I mean, I'm thinking of COVID, for example, where at the beginning it was we're following the science, and now no one ever says that anymore because clearly we're not. And it's just science and expertise have become dirty words, and I think that's kind of really dangerous.
Well, that's been such an uplifting 10 minutes. I think we need a nice little gizmo in a minute, don't we?
Go on. On the bright side, I have a cake to eat after this.
So, well, it's not all bad then.
There is a reason I eat cake, right? How else can I live with these truths, Bill?
Well, you're not 25 stone, I don't know. And we have a little time, Thursday Turkalp, to talk about your gadgets of the week. What you got?
Okay, so I've got two connected gadgets. One is called the Pivo Pod. And the other one is called the Pivo Pod Lite. So Pivo is P-I-V-O, and Lite, of course, is L-I-T-E. So Pivo Pod and Pivo Pod Lite. These are two versions of a very similar gadget. This is a gadget that you clip your mobile phone onto this, and it tracks you as you move around. So it rotates 360 degrees. It's got a motor. It runs on an app, and it can track your face, or it can track your body as you move. So we've seen versions of this sort of done in software with wide-angle cameras using their zoom capabilities to appear to track you. So Apple do something similar, but none of them can do what this can do, which is a 3D sort of 360 degree tracking. So it can be used by podcasters. It can be used for a lot of fun. I mean, the apps that you get with this are kind of incredible, because you can do all sorts of things. You can do 360 degrees time lapse. You can do these things where you clone yourself and there's two of you running around on the screen at the moment at the same time, superimposed. You can do GIFs, you know, these little animations, all sorts of really clever things. So if you want to share interesting stuff via social media, you can do that. If you are an athlete, it's great. There is even an option it's a bit niche, but people who ride horses and people who train dogs and so forth, you can actually pay an optional subscription if you want to and have it track as opposed to tracking people. It can track a horse or it can track a dog. So if you imagine, you know, if you're a horse rider, one of the most difficult things is to get really good steady footage of yourself as you go around, you know, jumping or whatever you're doing with the horse. And this can do this. But it's also very clever. You can just draw with your finger a box on the screen of your phone and tell it just to track whatever's in that box. So it's very, 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 very clever. The two versions are similar, but they differ in price and some of the features. So the Pivo Pod has got a list price of $125, although I notice at the moment a well-known and large retailer is selling it for $102.
Right. The one that makes you think of Big Pod. Women.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
What was
Big Women and an African River, that one, yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then there's the Pivo Pod Lite, which is £70. That's not on offer at that website, but I notice if you wanted to get it from the Pivo website themselves, then they've got 5% off it, which is, you know, better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. So their website is uk.pivo.ai. These are very, very clever things that you can mount it on a tripod or you can put it on the tabletop. It will work with most modern phones, say, in about the last 5 years, but check your phone is fully compatible. But it's a combination of the clever hardware, but really brought to life by these various apps and these amazing things that you can do with them. I mean, it really is, you know, it's a sort of thing that you would have had to pay a lot of money to have produced for yourself in the past, and yet you've got these completely steady shots. It's also possible to mount a camera, I think, as long as it's under, I think, a kilo or something, you can mount a normal camera on it as well, and you can do these great pans and scans and things like this. It's actually quite special. So for that money, I think it's a bargain. Four-star rating for both of them. If you are a person who moves particularly quickly, like an athlete, then it's definitely worth going for the PivoPod rather than PivoPod Lite, because it has twice the speed. It can rotate. The pod, the faster one, can do a 360 rotation in 4 seconds, whereas the Lite will take 8 seconds to do it. The Lite has three speed settings, and the pod itself has six speed settings, so again you've got more control. Also, it comes with a remote control, so even if you don't want it to track you, the pod, the more expensive one, comes as standard with the remote control, so you can just control the panning and scanning. And it's one of those things that parents love for their kids. You know, when they buy things for their kids and everyone says, oh, it'll spark creativity in your kid, and your kid remains uncreative, but this is one of those things that actually and you want your money back, right?
I do love a cynic.
Well, yeah, you know, but I went through years of buying this, it'll be great, and that and that, you know, and none
they
of it
find
worked.
Their own way, don't they? Yeah.
But with this, I actually found, and particularly with the apps, I actually found that it just led me to do all sorts of weird and funky things, and many of which I didn't want to share with people. But it's having versions of yourself running around on the screen and interacting with yourself, or walking through past a lamppost and appearing as a different person on the other side, these sorts of things, or these little mini globes. You can do a little mini world with your picture sort of stuck on the surface, but hugely scaled. It's hard to describe.
go no further. We get the idea, kind of.
Yeah, you get the idea. 4 stars out of 5 for both. If you can afford to get the pod, I would, because it's more flexible.
And the Amazon flows through South America, not Africa. I've no idea why I said it said Africa there. I did know that.
And I didn't even spot that.
Oh, well, there we are. Luckily I did, and I've put it right. Fevzy, wonderful work. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Cheers.